I have been working with my partner, Brent Miller, on numeric techniques. We were attempting to do some code breaking and using the techniques to predict lottery numbers, too, which people who go to my teaching website can see the winning lottery tickets. So we think that's pretty neat. Only the daily three tickets we're able to do that, and we can teach those techniques. But something happened during the research and development on what we call remote viewing geofix, how to determine exactly where a person, let's say, is on the globe. We
right.
could not do that originally. We couldn't do it. You could give us the name of a person. We could describe the person's location and their conditions and positions and all of that. But we could not tell you as a group where that person was without at least 2 weeks worth of work.
Hmm.
And the geofix techniques fix that. We'll talk more about it. But there were spin-offs of this technique. One of the spin-offs that Brent Miller, my partner, was working on was predicting, he lives in Las Vegas, and he was saying, well, we can use this to predict the outcome of games, football and baseball games, and wager on them. So he started going off and doing this. And he was so successful, he was winning thousands of dollars in parlaying. A parlay is when you take all these long shots and say, this long shot's going to win, this long shot's going to win, this one's going to win, and you put them together.
No, wait a minute. I'm very familiar with parlays because I did a lot of betting on football when I was in Las Vegas. Parlay is not necessarily all long shots. Parlay is just a series of two or three or four bets, however many, not necessarily all long shots at all. You can bet that a team will lose or a team will win, and it's all about the point spread. So was there any confusion there as he was doing it? In other words, for example, a team could win, Ed, but not make the spread, and you'd still lose your money. So it would have to cover the spread, right?
Well, what he was doing was going only for the winners and looking for only the teams that were using remote viewing to look at the outcomes of the games and look at only those winners that were long shots that would pay more money, and then integrating that into a parlay. So the parlay was a super long shot.
And that's true.
He was winning a lot of money. So what he did as kind of a reward for my team's work over the years in the field, and we'll talk more about that momentarily. After a workshop in Las Vegas that I conducted a couple of months ago, Brent sat down after hours and gave the team members a class on how to win parlays, how to win sports wagers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't very interested. I had other things to do. I went home. A few weeks ago, I get a call from David Rosetta, one of my team members. He says, Ed, I went down and I used that technique. He flew down from Washington and Spokane. Went to Las Vegas by himself, and he said, I filled up the pockets of my surplus Air Force jeans with $100 bills until they couldn't hold any more, about $20,000. And then I flew back home. So it works. I said, hey, that's great. Maybe we'll go down together. And I went back to work. A week later, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I worked pretty late. In fact, I was working on a missing teenager case. I get a call from Alex DeChar from San Francisco. Ed, I'm in Las Vegas with Joe Bush, another one of my team members. I just won $50,000.
Oh, my God.
On the same wagering, doing the same thing that Brent taught them to do. So he said, would you like to come to Vegas and the whole team do this? I said, yes. So we met in Vegas as a whole team. We sat down, and we compared results over a period of a couple of days. Made a lot of money. Alex went home with another $60,000. And we said, okay, this is a success. We're all very happy, except I was unhappy about one thing.
Uh-huh.
And that is, about every third wager, 10 or 20% of our teams that we had, our combined knowledge said would win, lost. Now, that's not supposed to happen. For those of you who are familiar with remote viewing, structured remote viewing, you'll know that when more than two or more trained remote viewers have the same corroborating data against the same target, in this case,
it ought to turn out that way. Mm-hmm.
Then it should be 100% correct. And this time it didn't. So I had to do some research, which I did. And here's what was happening. And I'll tell you what prompted me to do this research in a moment. What was happening was this. Apparently, All events in what we call the future, all events in time are locked. And that's an uncomfortable idea for me. But in terms of remote viewing, where we know that mind is outside of time and can look down on this broad panoply of events through time and space, everything is occurring at once. Every single thing. Which had made me uncomfortable for many years. But apparently that is so. The problem is this. It's not that, but let's use baseball as an example because that's what we were wagering, baseball games, winning teams. It isn't that those teams that had conflicting data it isn't that our data was wrong. It isn't that it was a fuzzy set and the outcome was undetermined in some deterministic way in the future. The problem was that the game was determined, but sometimes they were behind some type of an obstacle. Let's use that for lack of a better word, that even the best remote viewers could not see around. So there are sort of like dead zones out there, dead spaces that we can't perceive. It isn't that the game is not known in terms of mind, but something is blocking us from doing that, whether it's a hardware limitation, in this case wetware, software.
If something was blocking you, then how were you able to make the call at all? In other words, you saw it as Team X winning, and it didn't turn out that way. How were you able to see Team X winning if there was a block there?
What I did was I did some pattern analysis over a period of a week on baseball games, and what I found was that the games where the outcome was not known to a viewer, there was conflicting data right up front where it wobbled the data, the resultant remote viewing data that said this team would win or this team would win. You had conflicting data. There were elements, I don't want to get too technical on here, there were elements of both teams winning in this very, very soon into the remote viewing session, perhaps 10 minutes. And that pattern, doing some pattern analysis, told me that in those instances, don't wager on that game because the outcome is fuzzy.
Huh. The outcome is fuzzy. And yet earlier you said outcomes are locked. And I'm also very uncomfortable with that notion of anything being locked, inevitable, absolutely going to be that way, because that means, Ed, that we're all kind of puppets of...
I totally agree, but in another way, it means that you've already died, and you've already not been born, and all those things coexist.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Now, here's the kicker. The reason that I know that things appear to be locked is this. If an individual, highly trained, highly experienced viewer picks a team that is going to lose, if you compare that data, and you don't know that you've picked a losing team, if you compare the data with another experienced viewer, when you start to compare data, when two people begin to work together, then that particular quirk in the system where you can't see around the corner anymore, there's some type of a parallax view that allows two viewers to be able to perceive the right team or look around the corner, allegorically speaking, and see clearly instead of fuzzy. So when two or more remote viewers work, then it's clear.